Our scripture for study today is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 15, and we will study through verse 20. Now, what we're going to do is to look at one verse at a time and apply what Paul teaches us. We could entitle this lesson, Yes Means Yes, and No Means No. Let's begin in verse 15. Paul said, And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before. The confidence that Paul is talking about is his confidence that these Corinthians would be happy to see him again and hear about his work. Paul said that he was minded, that is, he had planned to come to them before. And he tells us in verse 16 that he had planned to pass by them into Macedonia and to come again out of Macedonia unto you and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. That was Paul's plan. And Paul said that he wanted to come to them, according to verse 16, so that they would have a second benefit. That would be the benefit of Paul coming to them and helping them and teaching them the gospel of Christ and, of course, encouraging them. So Paul had planned to go to Corinth, and these Corinthian Christians knew that Paul had intended to come to the church there. But what happened was that Paul didn't go on that particular trip. Paul later, in this chapter and in the next chapter, shows that he did not go to Corinth as he had planned, and he tells them why. He explains to them why he didn't go. But what evidently had happened was this. Some people at Corinth had criticized Paul for not coming because Paul said that he had planned to go to Corinth, and then when he didn't make it on that trip, there were some in the church there that said that Paul was just fickle, that he was wishy-washy, that he didn't mean what he said, that he was not really a man of his word, and that he was changeable. As you read this passage and you see this example, do you get the impression that these Christians at Corinth were fault-finding, that they were very critical? If so, you're right, because they criticized Paul for many things. They questioned Paul's apostleship. They questioned him about working. They criticized him for not being a great speaker. So this is what their pride and their envy and their competitive spirit did to this church at Corinth. So that was the complaint. Paul is not a man of his word. Paul said that he would visit us, and he's not made it yet. He didn't do what he said he would do. So how did Paul handle this complaint? Remember that the book of 2 Corinthians is a very personal letter. And if it seems that Paul is on the defensive, that's for good reason, because he was. And he had a right to be defensive. He is defending himself here in this book. And now he's going to defend himself against the charge of being wishy-washy. Paul said in verse 17, I did mean it when I said that I planned to visit you. I was not being lighthearted about that. I was not just saying that. In verse 17, he said, When I therefore was thus minded, in other words, when I planned to come, did I use lightness, that is, fickleness? Was I just being lighthearted about that and just saying something that I really didn't mean? Or the things that I purpose, the things that I intend to do, do I purpose according to the flesh? And the flesh here refers to human ways of thinking because it's common for people to change their mind. It's common for people to promise with no intention of doing what they promised to do. It's very common for people to go back on what they said. So Paul said, do you think that that's my character? Do you think that I'm yes one minute and no the next? Do you actually think that I change my mind often? Do you think that I'm not a man of my word? Remember, the Apostle Paul had been with these people for a year and a half. They should have known Paul better than that. Paul was not like that. And he had good reason for not going to Corinth. He's going to explain later that it was actually for their own good. And we'll get to that in the next lesson. But for now, let's consider how sad it is that many people are fickle. They're not people of their word. They change their mind depending on the situation. They change depending on who they're with. They're yes, and then they're no. They're like James says in James 1, verse 8. They are double-minded. And the Bible says in James 1, verse 8, that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't depend on a double-minded man. You can't rely on him. You can't tell what he's going to do from one minute to the next. You can't have trust in him, and you can't have confidence in a man who is unstable, that is, who is double-minded. Today, people will say, for instance, "Yes, I will do that," and then they won't. Or they will say, "No, I won't do that ever," and then they do. People will say, "Yes, I will pay you what I owe you," and then they don't. And some will even say later, "No, I don't have to pay." There are people that will say, "No, I won't say anything about that," and then they do. There are people that say yes to their wedding vows. "Do you take this woman or do you take this man, and will you keep yourself to this person as long as you both shall live?" They say yes to those wedding vows, and then it's not long until they break them. There are many people today that say no to alcohol. They say no to gambling. They say no to drugs, especially if they've developed some kind of habit or addiction. But then it's no time until they go back to those very things that are ruining their lives. There are people that will tell you, "Yes, I will be at church," but they never show up. There are other people that say, "No, I will never leave the Lord," but they do. There are people that will tell you, "Yes, you are right. I agree with you. You have been wronged." But then when you ask them to meet with your accusers, they say, "No, I didn't say that. No, I didn't agree with you," and they change. So it's hard to find people of principle. It's hard to find people whose yes means yes and their no means no. With many people, they're yes, and then they're no, and then they're both, and then they're neither. They simply change with the wind. Being fickle and being changeable is not the way of the gospel. Let's look at verse 18. Paul said, "But as God is true," he is saying before God, "our word toward you was not yea and nay." Our word refers to what he has said to these people. It refers perhaps to his teaching and to his preaching of the gospel. It was not yes one minute and no the next. The gospel has a clear ring. The gospel gives a definite answer to the issues of truth. And we should give the same kind of answer today. Our yes should mean yes, and our no should mean no. For instance, is there a God? The answer is yes. Is Jesus the Son of God? Absolutely, yes. Is the Bible the inspired Word of God? Yes. Christian people should not look at these questions and say, "Well, I don't know for sure." They shouldn't say, "Well, maybe." They should give a definite answer like the Bible does. Is there a heaven? Yes. Is there a hell? Yes. Is lying wrong? Yes. Is fornication wrong? Is sex outside of marriage wrong? Is drunkenness wrong? Is sodomy wrong? Are these things sinful? Yes. If the Bible gives a definite teaching on these questions, then we should give a definite answer, whether we're with our friends, with our family, at church, at school, or before a courtroom of people, we should give the same answer. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, and be definitive about it. Can a man live in rebellion and be saved? The answer is no. Can a man be saved without Jesus' blood? No. Is there a second chance after death to be saved? No. Is baptism for the remission of sins? Yes. Is the first day of the week the Lord's day for worship? Yes. Should we pray to Mary? No. Can a woman be a preacher or an elder according to the Bible? No. The Bible is definitive on these things, and we don't need to be yes and then no, or I don't know, or apologize for what the Bible says. because the Bible warns about being wishy-washy. In Ephesians 4, verse 14, the Bible warns about being tossed to and fro and being carried about with every wind of doctrine. There are some people that are tossed to and fro, and they're led about like being blown by the wind. In Hebrews 13, verse 9, the Bible says, don't be carried about with strange and diverse doctrines. Instead, the Bible says to be ready to give an answer. In 1 Peter 3, verse 15, Peter said, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. Now, it's interesting here in verses 19 and 20 that Paul says that Jesus Christ was not a man who said yes at one time and then no the next. The Bible says in verse 19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen unto the glory of God by us. So Jesus taught the same thing. He was the same regardless of the circumstance and regardless of the people that he was around. When the people asked him, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus gave a definite answer. He didn't say, well, it depends on what you think. It depends on the situation. Jesus said, here is the answer. Love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Mark 12, 28 through 31. What did Jesus say about Jewish traditions? Well, here's what he said in Matthew 15, verse 9. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Jesus said, it makes your worship, it makes your religion vain. What did Jesus say about divorce? Jesus said there is one reason for divorce and remarriage, and that is the cause of fornication. Matthew 19, verse 9. What did Jesus say about the resurrection? Was he yes on one occasion and no the next? Did he really believe in the resurrection? The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 22, 23 through 31, that yes, there is a resurrection. What did Jesus say about paying taxes? He said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. Matthew 22, 15 through 22. What did Jesus say about going to the Father? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14, verse 6. Did Jesus say that there are possibly other ways? If you were to ask Jesus, is there one way or many ways to heaven, what kind of answer would you get? You would get the answer of John 14, verse 6, and it would have a definite yes to it. Yes, there is only one way. No, there is not any other way. In John 3, verse 5, Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So if you were to ask Jesus, if we were to ask the Bible, can a man get into the kingdom of heaven if he has not been born of water and of the Spirit? The answer is no. It's not yes for one person and no for the next. It is an absolute no. So in verse 20, the Bible says that the promises of God are sure. They are constant. And so our exhortation to you and to all of us is, be like God, be like Christ, be like Paul, be loyal to the truth, and let your yes be yes, and let your no be no.